If you have your Bibles, please turn with us this morning to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 55, Psalms chapter number 55. I want to call your attention this morning to this psalm. It's I need to go back and look, but it's one of the psalms of instruction. Whenever the psalm has that word, it looks like mashal, but it's pronounced maskel. Whenever the psalm has that word in the title, it's a psalm of instruction. Let's stand together in reverence to the Word of God this morning. And I'm going to read down through verse number 7. And then I'm going to go over to verse number 22. There will be preaching in other places in the chapter. But for the sake of time, that will be our reading this morning. David, the Bible says, to the chief musician on Neganoth, and what that means is stringed instruments. I've heard of churches before that they preach against stringed instruments, and they've never raised the hood on the piano. Amen. There's a bunch of strings under the hood on the piano. My goodness, amen. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Now I want you to really pay attention to verse 5. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. Now let's look at verse number 22 and 23. David, the man after God's own heart, the psalmist said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half of their days. But I will trust in thee. You can be seated. Pray with us this morning, please. Father, thank you this morning for the reading of the Word of God, and thank you for the truth that we have before us. I pray this morning, our Father, that you would clothe us in our calling. Help us, our Lord, to be a help to our precious people. Lord, we're grateful this morning for your love, for your mercy. I pray, God, this morning that Jesus would magnify his presence in the service, and God will give you glory for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What I want to talk about this morning in the service is instruction on how to get from fearfulness and trembling to faithfulness and trusting. How do you get from point A to point B? Point A is fearfulness and trembling. I'm reminded of a text over in the epistles that says, perfect love casteth out fear. Amen. And so in verse number 5, David said, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And then in verse number 22, he said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And then he goes down and he says, O God, thou shalt bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half of their days. But, I love that word in Scripture, I will trust in thee. David is drawing a distinction between him and the wicked, between God's people and the wicked. David is God's man. David said in another psalm, as a matter of fact, it's right down on the page in my Bible, in Psalm 56:3, he said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." David was a man after God's own heart. Some would say God's people should never be afraid. I want to tell you something, beloved. If a man after God's own heart could be afraid, it's all right for us to come to a place in our life when we're afraid. I'm thinking of a pastor right now that just recently received devastating news concerning his health. That pastor has a wife. He has a congregation. He has children. He has many, many friends. And beloved, I will promise you that there's a time of fearfulness and trembling in somebody's life, amen, when things like that come into our lives. And so I want to just read you a little something this morning that I want to introduce the psalm with. We're talking about going from fearfulness and trembling to faithfulness and trusting. There's a journey that's being taken place here. And what I want to read by way of introduction, I think will lay some groundwork. The psalm describes a time of some kind of rebellion or power struggle against David. David's in the city. And let me say this, just because any man does what's right, don't mean that there won't be some that will go against him. Honey, nobody ever did right like Jesus did. He did everything right. And yet every time he turned around, there were opposition. There were people that were against him, people that wanted to hurt him, and in the end, desired to kill him and take his life. Amen. So the psalm describes a time in some kind of rebellion or power struggle against David. A key leader in the struggle was a trusted associate who betrayed David. I'll give you that in a little while. The city is dangerous because of the rebellion. And David cries out to God. Most commentators, they fit this psalm to Absalom's rebellion in 2 Samuel. And the trusted associate, his trusted associate, Ahithophel. Parts of the psalm seem to fit Absalom's rebellion, but some parts don't. It's hard to imagine David wishing Absalom to hell when he didn't even wish that he would die. It broke David's heart that Absalom died. And it may be that the events connected with this psalm are unrecorded in the sacred history of the life of David. I believe there are times in the scripture when God leaves things open-ended. So it would fit whatever situation you're in, amen, that brought about a time of fearfulness and trembling. I don't think anybody knows for sure what the thorn in the flesh was for the Apostle Paul. But everybody knows for sure we all got one. Somebody say amen. And what we can know for sure is God's grace is sufficient. God doesn't always, beloved, remove the thorn, but God will provide the grace, amen, to withstand the trial that we're going through. And so I believe it's entirely possible that it's kind of left open-ended. The scripture records what God wanted us to know, but we have got to know, just as in the life of Jesus, in the life of David, we don't know everything that went on in the life of David. But we know what God wants us to know because he put it in the canon of Scripture so that we could read it and study it and enjoy it together. There's a journey. The journey starts, I'm going to give you five words this morning. The journey starts with agony. Agony. In verse number 1 down through verse number 4, he's praying. He said, "Hide not thyself from my supplication." I don't know if David understood this, if this is prophetic and he didn't know it was coming for sure, and maybe he did, but he's speaking by inspiration of the Spirit of God. There would be a time in Jesus' agony when God the Father would hide his face as Christ, the Son of God, hung on the cross of Calvary. He said, give ear to my prayer, O God. Hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me. Hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. I'm reminded when I read that scripture, beloved, talking about agony. I'm reminded of going over to the book of Romans where the Bible said, and the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. There are times, beloved, when the believer cannot get a word out of his mouth, but the blessed Holy Ghost takes the groaning that's in his heart and carries it before the throne room of God. I'm telling you, beloved, no one ever agonized like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane to the point that his sweat became as great drops of blood. He was not looking forward, beloved, to taking your sin and my sin in his body. Here's a statement stronger than that. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was not looking forward to being separated from the Father. He was not looking forward to being mocked. But I tell you, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and went right back and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. So when a poor lost sinner come along in 1987 and said, God, be merciful to me. I'm telling you, God could have mercy because blood had been applied to the mercy seat. And he could save my never dying soul. I remember the agony that night when I was saved. I remember, beloved, listen, let me say this to you. You see yourself going to hell, you'll get concerned about it. Amen. I remember the agony that night. I remember calling on the Lord. I remember begging God, amen, to forgive me. And you know what he did? He forgave me. You know what he did? He changed my life. You know what he did? He didn't just empty out the mess, but he had a big old bucket full of love and a big old bucket full of joy and a big old bucket full of peace. And I'm telling you, God dumped that in my soul, and I've never been the same since. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, this agony, it begins in agony. The Bible said weeping endures for a night, but hallelujah, there's some joy coming in the morning. Amen. Thank the Lord. We see the agony because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. David said in another place, there's but a step between me and death. I tell you, beloved, listen, the Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what another day may bring forth. Thou, not a one of us can be assured that we'll step outside those doors today. He said, there's but a step between me and death. So we see the agony. And then I want you to notice this. I use the word alternative. David thought about an alternative to the mess that he was in, the agony that he was in. And I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I want you to stay with me right here. Look at the alternative. He said in verse number 6, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. You know, the dove is a kind of a fearful creature. It's in itself. It's pursued by birds of prey. And they fly swiftly and they fly far and they go into solitary places. That's what the dove does. You say, Pastor, how could a man after God's own heart desire an alternative like this just to get out from under the persecution and out from under the agony? Beloved, if we'd be honest, we've been there too. Be a lot easier. Amen. To go around the Red Sea than to go through it. Somebody say amen. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, that David is, he's being honest with us here. He said, if I had wings like a dove, I'd fly away. I'd be at rest. He said, though then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. You say, now, Pastor, why do you think David would say something like that? Well, let me give you something. He was a shepherd. You know what I believe, Brother John? I believe David was thinking something like this. It was a lot simpler when I was out there with them sheep. That's all I had to worry about, them sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. He had a line open to heaven. Amen. He could talk to the Lord, lay down with his sheep out there in the wilderness. Honey, it was a lot simpler. Being king was not easy. Amen. I'm telling you, they were after him, hunting him like a dog. Amen. And we see the agony. But then David thinks of an alternative. Wish I could go back. I'll be honest with you. If you do much for God, there'll be times in your life when you wish you could just go back. Wish you could go back to the simpler days. Wish you could go back, amen, to the place, beloved, where it was just you and him and your Bible and fellowshipping and praying and it was just sweet, amen. You say, well, Pastor, what happens sometimes? I'll tell you what happens. Just like what happened in David's life in this chapter, beloved, we become overwhelmed by the circumstances that are going on around us. Amen? Amen. There's fearfulness and there's trembling. Now, I want to give you something here. The Bible said here, I want you to see this. There is opposition in David's life from without. Though the enemy, he calls them. But I want you to see in verse number 12, he said, it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then could I have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then would I have hid myself from him. But he said, it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. And he said this, we took sweet counsel together, and we walked into the house of God in company. I'm going to make some statements right here, beloved. Listen to me. David is not only facing an enemy that's out there that wants to kill him, but now he's got a familiar friend. And I'm going to say this. He wasn't only a familiar friend. He was a false friend. You say, how can you make such a statement? Here's how. A friend loveth at all times. A friend loveth at all times. A false friend, beloved, when the going gets tough, he gets going. He won't stand with you. Amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, David is facing this not only from without, but now from within. It's breaking his heart. He's thinking about an alternative. I wish I could just get away. But then in verse 15, we see agony. We see all the alternative. But I wrote in the margin of my Bible the word anger. David is upset about this. He said, let death seize upon them and let them go down quickly into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. You say, Pastor, there ain't no way that a man after God's own heart could be angry. Well, let me tell you something about my Jesus. He got angry. You say, Pastor, you ain't got no Bible for that. Yes, I do. He went in the temple. They had turned the house of prayer into a den of thieves. Jesus made a scourge of small cords. Jesus overthrew the tables. I'm telling you, beloved, he dumped them. Amen. He dumped them and he drove them. He didn't get up and give a speech and say, would y'all please leave? He drove them out of the temple. He said, this is my Father's house. It's a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. I'm telling you, beloved, the Bible says to be angry and sin not. There is such a thing as a righteous anger. Amen. And David was angry because of what had happened and what was happening. The fear, the fearfulness, and the trembling is about to turn into faithfulness and trusting. And I want to show you how that happens now. In verse number 16, David said, as for me, beloved, he said, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. You know what happens many times? People take it into their own hands. But the Bible said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. The Bible says to overcome evil with good. Amen. And so here in the Word of God, beloved, David now is not angry, but he's abiding in the Lord. He's getting alone with God. He's praying. I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. Now listen to me. Listen to me carefully right here. This ain't some now I lay me down to sleep. Look what the Bible said in the next verse. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Let me say something to you. I'm not a Muslim. I don't believe what Muslims believe. But I tell you what, if we were near as diligent in prayer as they are, we'd be better off. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, you say, Pastor, why did he say evening first? That's when the Jewish day started, in the evening. Evening, he said. Evening, morning, and noon will I pray and cry aloud. If the believer is going to get from a place of fearfulness and trembling to a place of faithfulness and trusting, they're going to have to abide in the Lord. Jesus said, abide in me. If my words abide in you and you abide in me, and you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The psalmist has given us a recipe here for getting out of this place of fearfulness and trembling. By the way, I want to say something before I move on. You know, it's kind of, I'm going to use the word ironic, that David would speak in verse 12, 13, and 14 about his familiar friend, when, Brother Jack, that's exactly what he did to Uriah. Just the opposite. David knows what he's talking about. He knows both sides of the coin. Say amen. Yeah, amen. You tell me, I believe David carried those regrets to his grave. You say, you got Bible for that? Well, how about this? God told him a sword would never leave his house. Yeah. Amen. I believe he regretted that sin. And beloved, let me say this. He regretted the cover-up as much as he did the sin. Amen. Yeah. He regretted it. He regretted it. We see the believer abiding. Now, I'll get down to the end of the message. The Bible said here, he hath delivered my soul in peace, in verse 18, from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Thank God David wasn't like Paul. Paul said in one place that he was alone. He said, howbeit the Lord stood with me. Amen. Here, David's got some mighty men. David's got some men, beloved, that's on his side. And what a blessing it is to look around and know there's men on your side. He said, God shall hear and afflict them. Even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes. Therefore they fear not God. You see, it's about us and them. Really, that's the way it is in the world. There's God's people and the rest of them. Amen. Now we hope and pray that if you're in the rest of them, that you'll become one of God's people. So you can go to heaven with us. Amen. So you can know the peace and the joy and the love that we have in our lives that God has given to us. He said here, he that put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him, he hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. I can't help you. I mean, when I read that this week as I studied, all I could think about was politicians. Amen. Smoother than butter. I'm going to tell you what, there's one trying to make his way out of California. He's one of the best talkers I've ever heard in my life. Amen. I just wish he had something to say. Smoother than butter. Isn't that the way it is? Smoother than butter. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil. Yet were they drawn swords. Somebody told me years ago, years and years ago, said, Pastor, be careful. This was another old man of God. Now I is one. That old man of God said, Pastor, be careful. I guarantee you, Brother Don knows what I'm talking about. He said, those that's patting you on the back the hardest might be carrying the longest knife. He said, be careful. David knew that, beloved. He knew that. Amen. We need to understand that God is teaching us, instructing us in this scripture, how that we can get from a place of fearfulness and trembling to a place of faithfulness and trusting. I don't know about you, I don't want Jesus to come in the clouds and find me fearful and trembling. The Bible said in the book of 1 John, we can stand before Him with confidence. I'm wondering if God wouldn't just let us salute Him. Yes, sir, there's the captain of my salvation. I've been a-looking for You, Lord. I've been a-living for You, Lord. I've been a-talking to You, Lord. I've been telling others about You, Lord. There He is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Going to happen just like that. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What is the answer? That's the last thing in the message. We saw the agony, the alternative, the anger, the abiding. What is the answer? The answer is this. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Amen. Do you know, we went fishing years ago with my grandpa. My grandpa's old school. He didn't have much of an education, but he had God on him. And he was, my dad would make the statement, plain English is easily understood. And he knew how to speak plain English. Amen. He was like me. He spoke fluent hillbilly. Amen. But anyway, my grandpa, he went trout fishing with us. Well, if you go up Straight Branch above Damascus, so help me, Brother Junior, the stream is no wider than from me to you. And Grandpa, when you get out there on the first day, they've stocked those trout and you got to wait till high noon to throw a hook in the water. You know? And Grandpa was out there. We took him with us. And that fellow over there where Brother Junior was at was trying to fish over here at Grandpa's feet. Grandpa told my dad, he said, next time I go, he said, I'm going to have two poles. He said, one of them's going to have a night crawler and a hook on the end of it. And the other one's going to have a one-inch nut. And he said, when that guy over there starts fishing over here, he said, I'm going to hit him right between the eyes with that nut. Amen. You say, Pastor, where did that come up in the message? Casting. Casting. You know what we do? We cast our burden on the Lord. And then we got to check our reel before we get to the back door. Reel it back in. Am I right or am I wrong? We cast our burden, and then we just, whether it's a Zebco 33, I like an open face myself. I like open face sandwiches too, but I don't know where that come from. Reeling it in, amen. Reeling it back in. You know what David did? He come to the place where he could say, Lord, I've got to unload this burden. I can't carry it anymore. And he cast his burden upon the Lord. I will tell you something about Jesus. He's a wonderful burden bearer. He's always listening. He always cares. Here come a verse to my mind just now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Casting all your care upon Him. For He careth. Who said that? For you. That's right, Brother David. For He careth for you. The songwriter, Brother Junior, got it right when he said, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. And I say this morning, beloved, no one ever cared for you and I like Jesus. I don't know what your burden is this morning. But the way to get from that position of fearfulness and trembling to faithfulness and trusting, the answer is found in verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, if we understood when a person is born again, when a person is saved by the grace of God, if we understood the foundation that we're standing on, it's a solid rock. Amen. We don't have to waver with every wind of doctrine. We can stand, and having done all, stand. The wiles of the devil, they're there. The wiles of the devil will come. There'll be enemies without. There'll be enemies within. But I'll tell you this. There's a Savior that cares about you, cares about me, cares about your family, cares about my family. There's a Savior, beloved, that cares about our church, that cares about our community. And I'll tell you this, we've spit in His face as a country, but He still cares about our country. Amen? I believe there's a remnant of God's people in America. Amen? A remnant that love Him, that want Him to help us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face. You see, that's not just a little, now I lay me down to sleep. That's that morning or evening, morning and noon. That's that serious business with God. We've got revival coming up, starting the Sunday night after Easter. Brother Coulter's coming in from Alaska. And we're going to go right into revival that Sunday night. We're going to have communion on Sunday night, Palm Sunday, before Easter. There are a lot of great things. We're going to have a sunrise service, God willing. And listen, I'm looking forward to the sunrise service. I'm looking forward to the breakfast and the fellowship. I'm looking forward to the morning service. I'm looking forward to the choir. Ray, I go back and watch that over and over and over where the choir sang last Easter Sunday. It was such a blessing. Amen. How many's watched that again since last Easter? I mean, it blesses my heart. It blesses my heart. The answer is cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. The other side of that coin, but thou, O God, remember, He'll take care of the wicked, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half of their days, but I will trust in thee. Who are you trusting this morning? If you're going to get to heaven, there's only one you can trust. There's only one that has the ability to get you from earth to heaven. His name is Jesus. His name is Wonderful. His name is Counselor. His name is the Almighty God. His name is the Everlasting Father. His name is Emmanuel. He is, beloved, the way, the truth, and the life. He's the water of life. He's the bread of life. He's the one, beloved, that is the resurrection and the life. I used to tell the men in prison, you couldn't preach against all the isms. So God helped me to figure out a way to say it without saying it. I told the men this. I said, you can trust somebody that couldn't get themselves up if you want to. I'm just a country boy. I'm going to trust the one that got himself up to get me up. Amen. If he couldn't help himself, how's he going to help me? Amen. If you can still find his bones, he ain't the Savior. Jesus got up the third and appointed day. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you for these wonderful truths, for the instruction, God, that you've given us in the Bible. I pray, Lord, that you'll just bless and help us. And God, I pray that you'll just manifest your presence in this invitation. God, there may be folks here that don't know you. May they know today, Lord, they're carrying a burden of sin, heavy burden. Lord, they can cast that burden upon the Lord. That's why you went to Calvary, Lord. Lord, there may be those here today burdened for a family member, burdened for a friend. Help us, our Lord, to know there are burdens to bear. But Lord, there are burdens to share. Help us, Lord, to know. Help us to cast our burden upon Thee. Not to be fearful and trembling, but to be faithful and trusting. Help us, we pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.